Evening.
Good evening.
Here it is. We're into February already. It's amazing. So, I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. We do this every time we meet, and I hope that you're doing this at home, preferably in front of a mirror, so that you've come to the realization that you are part of this whole thing, that you're part of the universe, or you're part of this thing that we call God. It can be no other way. You cannot make this statement, all there is God, and then think that you're separated from that, or outside of that in any way. This thing that we call God, which is a life, intelligence, an energy, is working in, as, and through you. So you can make that wonderful statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. So please work on this till your mind accepts it, till your consciousness accepts it. The world is very convincing. Institutions are very convincing. And the lie that has been perpetuated for centuries is that you are separated from this thing called God. And it keeps being perpetuated when we have music that says, from afar. I adore Bette Midler. I saw Bette Midler years ago when she was young and did her wonderful show. But she has that song out, God is watching you from afar. This perpetuates the whole idea that God is somewhere else. And we all sing it and say, isn't that lovely? And we take it into our consciousness, we take it into our thinking, and we say, yes, God is watching me from afar. God is somewhere else. God is right here, right now, present, not only in this room, but in you. So, what we do in this teaching is we teach about the outer God and the inner God. And we come to the conclusion that the outer God and the inner God are one in the same God. That there is only one. Everything comes from one. Everything dissolves back into one. You could use mathematics, if you wish, to prove that. Mathematics starts with one. All numbers start with one. All numbers go back, are divided into one again. So, this teaching can be looked at scientifically. And you can prove these things. Why the world wants to teach you something else is absolutely beyond me. There is only one. There is only mind. And we call that mind with the big M, the mind of God, the mind of the universe. And we all live, move, and have our being in that mind. And that mind is responsive to us. We live in a universe that responds to our thinking. We live in a universe that wants to help us. We live in a universe that listens and wants us to succeed. Why? Because it is us. It is us. You see? God does not fail. You do not fail. The universe does not fail. You do not fail. Last week I told the story about, in my mind, I kept thinking and thinking about my friend Vernon. Vernon is 85 years old, lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. No, I'm sorry. Lives in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Never calls because that would be too expensive. He called me on the telephone. We had a nice chat. My thoughts went someplace. They did something. All thoughts go someplace and do not return to you void. Tonight we were talking, the young lady here, Chrissy, who used to come to our classes and remembers when this carpet was in this room and was absolutely filthy. She said, didn't there used to be a carpet in here? What happened to it? I said, we did treatment work and that carpet went out of here. When I use the word treatment work, it means prayer, it means talking to the universe, it means saying to the universe, I don't want this carpet. I want this carpet out of here. And the universe listens and removes the carpet. Earlier tonight, Monk and I and Rose, we were talking about the magician. And where was the magician? I said the magician called me weeks and weeks and weeks ago and said he was making money and was going to tell the class about it. That only happened here 6 minutes ago. There sits the magician. He showed up. So, before we go into anything else, why don't you tell us what has happened, what has transpired in your life?
Well, since I began learning in the class and whatnot, I started taking a more active role in my life. And when we talk about creating the possibility of building money up and things like that, I started doing the little red envelopes and things like that. And I started seeing possibilities of taking my career-wise to another level and my health to another level. And because of this class, I put cigarettes down. Yeah, that was a long time in the making. And then I started feeling like an individual and feeling that I did matter and whatnot. And I put my creative forces to use and looked to the universe, and I ended up spending 2 months performing in China.
This teaching works if you work it. More?
Oh, I've been back and still on a roller coaster, and just things get better every day because I'm realizing that I have value in this universe and that I am creative and powerful and do anything I want to.
Yes.
I'm doing it.
Very nice.
There's a long way to go, but I'm on it.
Oh. Thank you. All right. Let me tell you two different things which he said. He said possibilities. Earlier, Casey said, oh, there's possibilities. All we're ever working with is possibilities. You live, move, and have your being in a field of possibilities, and you must be able to see those possibilities. You must be able to see them. You say, oh, this is all I have. No, you must see more. How do you see more? By using your imagination, by using your mind. This teaching is about the mind. It's about nothing else. Everything is always going to boil down to the mind. If you think you're going to boil it down to God, God is mind. But we're going to talk about mind, and we're always going to talk about mind in here. Your mind, using your mind to be able to get what you want, because your mind is an individual expression of the mind of God. When God thinks, you think, and vice versa. So what we are always trying to do is raise our consciousness, raise our thinking, so we learn to think God thoughts after it. If you want something to come into your life, you must start with your thinking, you must start with your imagination, and you must raise your consciousness. Earlier in January, I said we are changing this, not the title. We're always going to have the title of the class of prosperity and abundance, including money. But we're also going to remember that we are teaching here practical metaphysics, meaning go out and use it so you can get jobs, so that you can stop smoking, so that you can do the things that you want to do. You do that with your mind, and you use this teaching practically. You do not have to spout off all these affirmations. You do not have to think, oh, God, this, that, and the other thing. If you want that, as I say, go down the street to a church. They'll be more than happy to tell you all that stuff. Hey, how are you? More than happy to tell you all that stuff. But in here, we're going to use our minds, and we're going to change our minds. The whole premise of religious science is change your mind, change your life. You must change your thinking about yourself. And once you change your thinking about yourself, this young man changed his thinking. What did he say? He said, I realized I had value. I realized I mattered. And as soon as you realize that, what? The universe responds to you. It has to respond to you. It will reflect back to you what you put out there. You see? If you sit around saying, oh, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing anything, the universe says that's absolutely right. You're not going anywhere and you're not doing anything. If you perk yourself up and say, ha ha, I'm using the mind of God here. I see all types of possibilities. All channels for prosperity and abundance are open to me, and they're open to me now. Money is coming to me, flowing to me. Health is coming to me. Health is flowing to me. Relationships are coming to me. Creative self-expression is coming to me. And it will come to you. You see, all the things that you want are inside of you. When you treat for creativity, you have to know that you already have creativity. You cannot not have it. Because why? You're one with this thing called God, and God is creative. Therefore, you have to be creative. So when you do a treatment for creativity, you affirm immediately, I am a creative human being. I am not trying to find more creativity. I'm trying to express more creativity, and I know that that creativity is inside of me, and it's inside of me right here and right now. And then creativity starts to come out from you. Life is an inside job. It's from the inside out. And you must find it here first. Then it comes out into the world. You are lacking absolutely nothing. Don't ever think that you're lacking anything. Everything that you want is inside of you. Everything that you need is right here and present. So, these are the things that you want to know about yourself. Absolutely delighted with you, young man. Let's keep rolling here. It seems to me I'm on a roll here. Ah, will you read this, please?
I can see it.
I wrote it large.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved.
I'm the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I'm the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased.
And I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased. We must get this through into our consciousness. You truly are the beloved. It can be no other way. You must get ecstatic about this. You must wake up in the morning and know that you are the beloved, and that this universe, this thing called God, wants to give you everything. There's a little saying in the Bible, I think it's John 24, could be 23, sometimes I get those mixed up, and it is, "Fear not, little flock, for it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom." One of my very favorites, an artist once did a whole painting on that for me. I am the beloved in whom the universe is well pleased. Please get that into your consciousness. Now, how are you going to get that into your consciousness? You have to get excited about that. Does anyone remember when Sally Fields won an Oscar for Norma Rae? What did she say? You love me. You really love me. You must say that about God. You love me. You really love me. The universe loves me. The universe really loves me because I am the beloved. You see, it can be no other way. God needs you. God would be incomplete without you. Just like a thread in a tapestry, if you remove that thread, that tapestry is no longer the same. Every thread is needed in the tapestry. You are a thread in that tapestry. We all make up this thing called God. We're individualized expressions. But when we're all together, we make up God. You see? These are the things that you want to get to thinking about if you want to bring something into your life. It has nothing to do with singing hymns. It has nothing to do with worshiping God. God is beyond worship. You know, God is beyond that. You do those things to satisfy yourself. It doesn't satisfy God. You cannot move God. You cannot move God. You see? If you could move God, this universe would be in chaos all the time. God always remains calm, cool, collected, poised, and serene. Nothing affects God. Things affect you. These are the things that you must start with. These are the premises that you must start with. This is the bedrock that this whole philosophy is based on. So in the morning, get up and know that you are the beloved, that this universe, this energy, this life, this intelligence is working through you to bring to you what you want. It starts with you. It's always going to start with you. You must know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes, yes, yes. We matter. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He used that word. He realized that he mattered. As soon as he realized that he mattered, things started to happen for him. If you don't think that you're worth anything, do you think anyone else is going to think you're worth anything? If you don't think you're worth anything, do you think God is going to think that you're worth anything? God is not thinking anything but that you are the beloved. It's your mind that is doing that. If you're not getting what you want, you must change your mind. You cannot change the mind of God. God always holds you in the highest of esteem. God always sees you in a light that beams, and we don't see ourselves that way. And we must learn to see ourselves as this wonderful, magnificent human being that we are. Also, this wonderful, magnificent, spiritual being. You see, we are spiritual, and then we are human. People want to make us human and then spiritual. That is not the way it works. You are a spiritual being experiencing a human experience, not a human experiencing a spiritual. But the world wants to tell you it's vice versa. You will discover, if you stay in this teaching, that it's always going to be a flip-flop what the world is saying and what this teaching is saying. And therein lies the little rub, and therein is why people get confused. Because if the world's saying this, then it must be true. But what did we learn from one of the great masters? A master called Jesus. I am in this world. I am not of this world. Don't be of this world, people. Don't listen to what the world is telling you. The world right now is telling you there's an economical whatever it's telling you is going on. And because we all buy into that, we all believe that, we create that. We are creating this world. And you can create the world that you want to see, you want to do. Now, I said earlier that we are now going to use this, and we're going to say practical metaphysics, practical. So I can use this to get a job, to get money, to get things. I am no longer going to look at things on a physical level. You can look at things on a physical level. But this, I'm not teaching physical. I'm teaching metaphysical. If you want physical, go to Madonna. She'll teach you physical. We're teaching metaphysics. Metaphysics. So I'm going to use Jay as an example here. Jay came limping in. He's done something to his leg, and whatever. He's done something there. Physically, we can see. And physically, you may have tripped. You may have done something, right? Pardon?
It just started hurting.
It just started to hurt. Things just don't start to hurt people. Mind is all there is. You see. Body has no causation of its own, remember. Now, if we look at it physically, we say, oh, that's the way it is. No, we look at it metaphysically and we say, why do the legs start to hurt? Why is he limping? And then we have to be fearless and we have to say, huh, I think it's maybe because change is coming and I'm a little bit afraid of change. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to limp so I don't get there as fast. Mm-hmm. I'm going to limp so I don't get there so fast. How many people do this? You slow yourself down. It's mind. It's your mind. You must look at it from a metaphysical point, not from a physical point, you see. And this is where we run into trouble. This is where we run into trouble. We do an affirmation. We say, I'm filled with life. I'm filled with the life of God. I have energy. I have vitality. I feel great. And 10 minutes later, we said, you know, I'm absolutely pooped. I'm absolutely pooped. You can't do that. If you're looking at it from a metaphysical thing, you see, raise your consciousness. Raise your level of thinking. Learn to think God thoughts after it. Can you imagine this thing called God being tired? Taking a nap? What would happen? What would happen? I'm not saying don't take naps. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying learn to look at things differently. Learn to look at things from a metaphysical point of view and not from a physical point of view. You're saying? You can heal that leg instantly if you wish. You're saying? You have to talk to it. You have to tell it, this is not acceptable. I don't want this going on in my body. Your body has no causation of its own. Remember, if your body had causation of its own, your legs would get up and walk away from you. Your legs don't walk away from you. They stay right where they are till you tell them what to do. And then they do what they're supposed to do. You see. So we're going to start to think metaphysically. This is what we have to do. We have to think metaphysically. Okay? Tonight's topic, by the way, is master-slave. And I'm not talking... That's enough. I'm talking about your mind once again. Are you master of your mind? How many people remember that you must be master of your destiny? You say. This little piece of poetry out there about being the master of your destiny. The only way you can be a master of your destiny is to be a master of your mind. Who is running your mind? Are you running your mind or are you allowing the world to run your mind? Are you allowing fear, anxiety to run your mind? You see? You have to figure that out. You have to figure out who's the master and who's the slave. Most of us are slaves to our thinking. We're slaves to our thinking. Somebody said, the mind is busy with the slaves, and the slaves are making the whips. We're making our own whips all the time. We're the ones that are beating ourselves. You see, don't let your mind do that to you. Learn to control your thinking. Learn to see what your mind is doing. People say, how do we do that? They'd be coming still a moment by looking at it. How many people count two? One, two, before they open their mouth. One, two, before you respond to somebody. So that you get the right response instead of just automatically blurting something out that you blurted out for the last 30 years, that you heard your parents blurt out. How many people know all the little cliches, all the little things? How many people still believe? Huh? I got a chill. I'm going to get a cold. Chills have nothing to do with colds whatsoever. Have nothing to do with it. But we blurt those things out. We become slaves to our thinking. and we allow our mind to control us. And we must learn to control our minds. Everyone here knows that they're not their body. Some know that they're not their minds. But we must realize that we are not our mind. Our mind is ours to use. To use the way we want to use it. So you detach yourself from your mind. You do not identify yourself with your thinking. You do not identify yourself with your thoughts. Let the world do that. See, the world will identify you with that way. You do not. That thought is merely a thought. Yes, it has power. Yes, it goes someplace. But you can stop it at any time you want. When my mind starts to go down that same old trail, that memory lane, so to speak, I say, stop it. This is going nowhere. It's not benefiting me in the least. Go back to the nothingness from whence you came. I want to think a new thought. I want to think a better thought. And since I realize that I live in a field of total possibilities, I can pick a different possibility. I can pick a new possibility to use. And then I use that. We are not stuck in any situation. We are not stuck in any mindset whatsoever, unless we think we are. We can change ourselves. We can become the person that we want to be. Deep inside of all of us, there is a perfect person. Deep inside of all of us is that individual, that spiritual individual that wants to be recognized. Each and every one of us wants to be recognized. And we have a little gnawing going on inside of us that tells us we could be more. And we don't listen to that little gnawing, do we? We allow the world to say, oh, it's never going to work. Oh, that's too much. Oh, after all, I'm getting old. I won't be here soon. Somebody said to me today, I'm not going to worry about that. I won't be around. There's no such thing as death, people. No such thing as death. You're going to be around. You may not have this body, but you'll be around. See, the whole idea in life is to plant a tree so that somebody else can enjoy the shade. So that somebody else, what are we building? What are we doing to ourselves? Take a moment and close your eyes. Go to that very center inside of you, wherever you find it. Most people find it in their solar plexus. Go there, to that solar plexus area right here in the middle of your chest. And as you quiet down your thoughts, you start to hear and you start to see yourself differently. You give up that role that your family has placed on you. The role that the world has placed on you. And the role that you have been playing all your life. And you see it from that perspective. A different you. A you that perhaps is hiding behind some type of facade of some sort. Afraid to come out into the world. Because what would people think of me? What would people think if I went against popular thought? What would you be? Who would you be? How would you be different? That person that's inside of you never picked up a cigarette and smoked. that person inside of you never said a bad word to anybody. Never thought a bad thought about itself. And certainly never got ill. That person is there. That individual is there inside of you. Take off all those layers of beliefs and lies and conclusions that you have come to about yourself. Strip yourself down. Stand there.